Wealth Within offers a range of investment and educational services to help you secure your financial future. Whether you're an aspiring trader or simply want to increase the strength of your portfolio, Wealth Within are dedicated to maximising your investment returns.
Welcome to Talking Wealth. I'm Blake Sterling, analyst and assessor at Wealth Within. Today, I have a very special podcast for everyone. And what I'd like to do is talk about 10 lessons from an investment legend, and that investment legend being Jeremy Grantham. Now, a lot of you may be saying, who's that? Well, Jeremy was actually one of the doomsayers more recently for the Australian housing market. So he was one of the gentlemen who was talking about a massive collapse in our housing market of somewhere near 40%. Now, we know that hasn't actually happened, but regardless of this, Jeremy's been around the industry for quite some time and is a legend over in the States for his no crap attitude towards investing and looking at the economy from his standpoint and from his expertise. He has achieved quite a lot within his lifetime as one of the big guys on Wall Street. So Jeremy's 10 lessons are really all about his trading methodology, and there's some very close similarities as to what we teach here at Wealth Within, but there's also some slight differences as well, and that's what I would like to also touch on today. So lesson number one from Jeremy is to believe in history, and like what we talk about here at Wealth Within from a technical analysis point of view is obviously that cycles repeat, and this is what Jeremy talks about as well, is that you must believe in history because certain cycles will unfold. He talks about how all bubbles break, all investment frenzies pass, and that the market is gloriously inefficient and wanders far from fair price, but eventually, after breaking your heart and your patience, it will go back to fair value. Your task is to survive until that happens. Lesson number two, and this is one that I don't necessarily agree with, and it's titled Neither a Lender Nor a Borrower Be. And Jeremy is quite blunt about never borrowing to invest, period. Now, whilst I do agree to a certain extent that people who perhaps don't understand how to use leverage don't actually use leverage, for those of us who are perhaps a little bit more seasoned with investing and also using leverage, I don't really see a problem with it as long as you're not excessive with that debt. So for instance, here at Wealth Within, we always talk about having a one-to-one ratio. So if you have $1, you only borrow $1, no more than that. And that I think is quite safe. Anything over that is where we tend to start getting into higher margin calls, and people who start taking out 60, 70, 80 odd percent are the ones who generally are taken for margin calls, and there's a much higher ratio for those people who go over that 50% level who do go into a margin call status. Jeremy talks about how leverage reduces the investor's critical asset being patience, and what he states here is that he talks about how borrowing to invest or using leverage generally takes away to a certain extent an investor's, well, I suppose their brains, so to speak, where they get more reckless and perhaps more aggressive and also greedy once they start taking on that extra leverage. Don't put all your treasure in one boat is lesson number three. Diversification isn't about returns, this is what Jeremy says, it's about resilience. So the more investments you have and the more different they are, the more likely you are to survive those critical periods when your big bets move against you. Again, although I do agree with this context to a certain extent, again, at Wealth Within, we always talk about how diversification is okay to a certain point. You don't want to over-diversify. Lesson number four, be patient and focus on the long term. So Jeremy talks about waiting for the good cards. When you find something to buy, you don't have to act immediately. Wait for it to hit your price range. This will be your margin of safety. Now, handling the pain of investment losses, on the other hand, can sometimes be worth it, Grantham talks about. And he mentions how individual stocks will usually recover, entire markets always do, and to outlast the bad news. Again, we talk about how we always have our stop losses in place in order to avoid huge losses. So Jeremy's probably coming here from more of a fundamental perspective rather than a technical point of view. So again, whilst I do agree to a certain extent, I think that we always must ensure that we have our stop losses in place and don't merely take huge losses at any one point in time. Lesson number 5 is to recognize your advantages over the professionals. So patience is obviously one of the key advantages individuals have over traders and money managers, because we don't have to be sitting in front of a computer all the time like those professionals do. Yet Jeremy talks about how many people squander that edge, reacting to day-to-day events and chasing the latest hot stock or sector. The individual, he says, is far better positioned to wait patiently for the right pitch while paying no regard to what others are doing. Such a luxury is almost impossible for professionals. Wall Street professionals worry about their jobs, careers, bonuses, and the like, and needing to look busy, i.e. frequently trading, need to do so to earn their keep. Lesson number 6 is try to contain natural optimism. Jeremy says that nobody likes a Debbie Downer, but on Wall Street, it's bad for business. So he notes that many a professional has been fired for being too bearish. Optimism can win friends and influence people, but it's a lousy investment strategy. You have to be willing to hear bearish, bad news about the risks you've taken with your money and to make informed decisions about it. And Grenham also says that it's doubly true at times when buyers and brokers are exuberant. And this really touches on a lot of our methodologies where we talk about not to follow the herd and to have the knowledge for yourself. So once you're knowledgeable, you have the power to make your own decisions. Lesson number 7 is, on rare occasions, try hard to be brave. So professional investors often spot bargains, but they can't and don't always act on them. That's because the price of being wrong, even for a few months, is just too high. A manager who lags his or her peers for a couple of quarters will start to get probing questions from disgruntled clients. If those clients pull their money, the manager's bosses will get upset. If they get upset, they may decide that someone else is better for the job. Individuals don't have to worry about any of this. So if you find an investment that looks cheap, even if it's likely to be out of favor for a while, trust your research. If the numbers tell you it's a real outlier of a mispriced market, grit your teeth and go for it. Number 8 is resist the crowd, cherish numbers only. Market bubbles and the madness of crowds are exciting until they're not. Hard as it might be, don't jump in because everyone else is. Ignore especially the short-term news. The ebb and flow of economic and political news is irrelevant. What is relevant? Numbers. Do your own simple measurements of value or find a reliable source. And I really agree with this particular view that Jeremy is outlining here. Again, it's very unwise to follow the market, but it's also unwise to get in on stocks or markets purely just because of hype. It's also important that you don't necessarily listen to all the news going on out there in the world. What is important is that you do your own research, whether it be from a technical or fundamental perspective, and come to your own conclusions. Then trust yourself to make the right decision. Once you've got that knowledge, you should be in a position of power where you can make your own decisions and more than likely outperform the market. Lesson number 9. In the end, it's quite simple. So stocks are bought and sold based on expectations for the future value of a company's dividends and earnings. I don't necessarily agree with that. But so if a stock is trading at a discount to its long-term earnings, investors can assume that over time the gap will narrow and the price will rise. Conversely, if shares are priced above average, it's likely the price will decline and return to the mean over time. Estimates and forecasts such as the ones that a lot of the people on Wall Street make aren't really that complicated. And this is what Jeremy's talking about here. These estimates are not about nuances or PhDs. They are about ignoring the crowd, working out simple ratios, and being patient. Yes, again, some stuff in there I agree with, but to a certain extent, from a technical perspective, as we've seen over time, and particularly over the last couple of years, the numbers behind the company don't necessarily reveal how it's going to move from a technical point of view. For example, I've traded many stocks where the PE has been exceptionally high, or perhaps the dividend has been exceptionally low. And for me, that's not a huge concern if what I'm seeing on the chart from a technical perspective is telling me that this stock is ready to buy. And lesson number 10 is, above all else, be true to yourself. Jeremy suggests that it's imperative that you know your limitations as well as your strengths and weaknesses. He says that you must know your pain and patient thresholds accurately and not play over your head. If you cannot resist temptation, you absolutely must not manage your own money. In that case, Jeremy goes on to say that you should be looking to hire a skilled manager or buy inexpensive global stock index funds and don't look at them until you retire. On the other hand, if you have patience, a decent pain threshold, and ability to withstand herd mentality, perhaps one credit of college-level math and reputation for common sense, then go for it. In his opinion, if you hold enough cards and beat most professionals, which he says that it's not really hard to do, you may do very well indeed on the markets. Now, I agree pretty much with this whole statement from the perspective that it's very, very true that you have to know who you are as a trader and investor. You have to know what you're comfortable with in terms of your trading. There's no point trying to trade fast-moving markets if you're quite risk-averse. Why bother trying to trade something that could potentially lose you a lot of money? So it's really about your psychology to a large extent, knowing what your limits are, and really sticking to those, not necessarily going over those from an investment point of view and performing to the best of your ability. So knowing your limitations, but also knowing your strengths as well. So thanks for listening. I'm Blake Stirling, and this has been Talking Wealth.
Talking Wealth was brought to you by Wealth Within. To learn how you too can maximise your investment returns, call 1300-SHARE-TRADE.